you have this vision. It's and it's up there somewhere, right? And when we're done, what's it going to look like? And I go, well, we're never going to be done, quite frankly.
Yeah. Welcome back to View from Above with John Berger of Altus Wealth Solutions in San Luis Obispo, California. I keep calling it San Luis, but this time I probably got it right, San Luis Obispo. Anyway, so on the show here, you know, you and I have had a cool conversation a couple of weeks ago about how we're both business owners and both have been business owners for a good while. That's really been my, the majority of my career has been an entrepreneur or a business owner of some sorts, and how there are a lot of challenges. We've talked about on the other episodes some of the financial challenges that business owners face and how to solve for 401k planning and retirement planning and other things of that nature. But really, that's just scratching the surface on some of the challenges business owners really face. You're running a business. I mean, it is a depending on what the business is, you're wearing 100 different hats all the time. You're the chief marketing officer, you're the chief financial officer, you're the chief operations officer. And even if you're running a team, you still have to have an understanding of all of that, right? You're still the organizer and the leader of that. So one of the conversations we had a couple of weeks ago, you were talking about, and I thought was really interesting, is understanding your company's vision is such an important thing for entrepreneurs. It's something I've personally struggled with a lot in the past at different times, is that my vision is 42 pages long, and it's 17 different spreadsheets tied to 37 different PowerPoint presentations, and I don't really know what that's my vision, but that's not exactly the vision, you know?
That's a hallucination, pal. That's a hallucination. and it's tough because, you know, especially if the entrepreneur, you have this vision, it's up there somewhere, right? And it is what got you going on the path. It's what inspired you. It's why you are taking all the risks you're taking and assuming all of the responsibilities you're assuming and trying to figure out all the stuff that isn't really in your wheelhouse, but you know, you kind of got to know it because you're it. I mean, the odds are that either the business has your name on it or you are the one representing the business. So it stops with you. And so you do want to make sure you at least have some understandings of it. And I think, you know, just kind of thinking back, what is a business? Business is something that is creating a relationship or and not hopefully just transactional, but a relationship with its customers or its clients or whatever you want to call the other end of that business, right? It's a two-way street. And being able to effectively communicate what that business is to that customer or client, that's the difference between having customers or clients and not having them, right? You start with nothing. You don't have anybody. You don't have any customers. And you say, hey, here's what we are. Here's who we are. Here's what we stand for. And you throw it out there into the world. And you hope it resonates with some people. And they say, I'm willing to share some of my money with you, or at least some of my time originally. And maybe hopefully that turns into money. But I'm willing to share something with you in return for something that I think you have that I want. Effectively, isn't that's what a business is trying to do in a very 30,000 foot generic kind of overview. And I think a lot of times we just get so deep in the weeds about the mechanics of the business and the finances of the business and all these things that we tend to lose as owners sight of what it was, that first germ of an idea that has inspired you to do all these hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of hours of work towards creating this business. And when I talk about marketing message makeovers or 3M, that's what I refer to it as, the marketing message makeover. It really is just going back and examining, well, what is that vision? And in a nutshell, what are you trying to communicate with your customers that you do that they want?
Looking at your business as an example, so for background, for folks who may not know who we are, and based on YouTube analytics, that's probably most people watching the video, we're both in the financial industry. You're a financial advisor. I'm a former financial advisor. I have a business now where I work with financial advisors and do provide different services to try to help advisors in a variety of ways from my experiences. you work primarily with small business owners and your practice to help them with their financial challenges that come up in their business.
Right.
But then there's also this aspect of, you know, you've said several times before in other content we've done that, you know, you're an entrepreneur first, you live vicariously through your clients. That's why you like to work with business owners. So you have a very clearly crafted vision for your business today. Altus Wealth, I love, and I'll let you elaborate on this, but Altus means view from above, and bring that into even the title for the show. And then you take that name and that branding, and then you apply it to the way you do your marketing. And that eventually extends to when you engage with clients that you're also applying those principles. So talk a little bit first about the process of determining Altus Wealth Solutions as the name of your business. Where did that come from? Because for me, when I started my first business, it took me 6 months to think of the name. You know what I mean? Like it's really hard to decide because this thing's going to be, well, two different experiences with Saxon, right? The first time I took 6 months to pick a name. The second business I started, I picked a name within a month or two, but then I changed it 4 times. And then the last time I took 5 minutes to pick a name and I've changed it 12 times. So either way, it takes time to land where you're going, or sometimes you may get it right on the first crack. So what was that process like in crafting your own vision?
Well, we're talking some pretty ancient history here. See if I can remember back that far. Because Altus Incorporated and Altus Wealth Solutions was originally developed in the late 1990s. 1999, I think, is where I first coined the name. So, and actually, I drew from even further back. I knew I had this business, and I knew what I was doing as a business consultant. What I wanted to do as a business consultant was, as a business owner, I knew I couldn't see the forest for the trees. It's just too deep in the weeds in it. And it's just like, I knew I would benefit from having somebody else who could come in and give me that view from above, that ability to see things that I can't see myself, wrapped up in my own onions, to quote the Shrek movie, to do it and to see it for what it really is. And plus, you know, look, we're all clouded. What we see is not the truth. What we see is kind of what we want to see, right? And so I knew that I would benefit from having that. I knew I'd had coaches and consultants through my years that had helped me with some of that, although I didn't think any of them really did that very well, because I don't think that was what they thought they were doing. They were consulting, and they were, you know, I would hire consultants, and they would do one little thing, or that was what they were consulting on. And I just really felt like there was this huge need for business owners to have somebody who could just say, hey, look, let's look at your business and help you kind of get out of your own way and really understand who you are, what you stand for, and what you do. So it's like, all right, so view from above. Now, how are we going to deal with that? What kind of name is going to, you know, is going to represent that? And, you know, there's Ariel this, and there are other words in the English language. Partly every time I came up with one that sounded kind of cool or could come close, somebody else was already using it, or it seemed like that was too plebeian or whatever. And I didn't want to create a word that didn't exist. And, you know, that happens a lot. So I drew back on my high school years when I took Latin. And I go, I wonder if there's a Latin word that encapsulates this concept of view from above, or the 30,000 foot view, right? And sure enough, Altus is that word. And so that, roughly speaking, it's a slight twist on the actual definition of Altus, but it's close enough. And folks who don't speak Latin certainly aren't going to know the difference. And it was just, I start with a clean slate, doesn't have any charging of, you know, because every other word, especially in the English language, has an alternate meaning for some people because they've heard it before and maybe in a different context. So I didn't have to undefine the word, because it's an unknown word for most people, unless you took Latin. Nobody does anymore anyway. So I felt I was pretty safe with that. So anyway, that was the genesis of the word Altus. And it was the concept that I knew I wanted to have for me that I couldn't find anywhere. And that's how all of us entrepreneurs start our businesses, right? We say, there's a need. doesn't seem like anybody's fulfilling it, or certainly not effectively, or at least not in my case. So I'm going to go out and create something that fills this need. Yeah. That's always step one of the process. And then the next question is, how many people really want that need filled? And then the third step of the process, if there are a fair number of them, hopefully you've done some market research, but if there's a fair number of them, how do you communicate with them that this is the need that you're filling in a way that they go, yes, that's what I want?
Yeah.
Because they may not even know it.
Yeah. It's interesting, too, because it's an evolution over time, I believe, too, sometimes. Not necessarily the name. You're not going to change your name every other quarter to go with the vision. But your vision is going to evolve.
You've done it quite a bit the last month or two.
I have, yeah. I've done it quite a bit. Because it's – and I'll give my example, too. I mean, so when I have two areas of value that I can provide. So my background as a financial advisor, I can communicate financial topics with the public in ways to help them understand and make better decisions for their own financial futures. But then at the same time, my experience as an advisor helps me to be able to communicate, and not just my experience as an advisor, but I think my experience as an advisor and my perspective as someone who's no longer an advisor but communicates with a lot of advisors, now I see the industry very differently than I did when I was by myself in my own walls and running my business that way. But trying to find one business. I really wanted to try to create one business that could do all of the above. And it finally got to a point where I had to kind of draw a line and say, okay, no, I've got an advisor servicing business and I've got a public servicing business, and they really are going to have to be totally independent of one another. And interestingly enough, it wasn't this big philosophical decision I made. The main driver behind that was the Google algorithms were getting really confused as to who to attract to my website, because sometimes I'm doing things to attract people looking for financial answers, and sometimes I'm attracting financial professionals who are looking for different answers. So it's not always this big, deep philosophical answer that lands at your vision. Sometimes it's adapting to the environment that you're in. And a good example of that is my advisor servicing business, which is now in its third name, is, I think it's the most successful iteration of the name that I've come to at this point. And it definitely seems to be resonating very well for the service that I'm providing. And there was nothing special at all about the way I came up with this, other than the fact that what I really wanted to brand myself as, I was afraid would be a problem, because it was a word that was used with another company that I worked for, and whether that was trademarked or not, it was going to be something that was going to make the CEO mad. I didn't want to knock that off. So I literally took the other word of that phrase and put it into a Google thesaurus and looked for other words that meant that, and just went down the list until I found advocates. And I thought, that sounds really good. And the funniest thing about that is that was just kind of a side project that I was doing to have like a dummy domain put together. And then like a year later, I went back to that domain. I thought, actually, that's a better name for my business than what I'm doing now. I rebranded it, and bam, there you go. So it's not something that you have to sit down and spend 6 months soul searching and researching and doing focus groups and all this stuff to come up with, and then it's set in stone and never to be changed again. Your vision and what you're doing, multi-billion-dollar corporations rebrand all the time. I mean, they don't do it. One organization's not going to do it all the time, but you do see companies rebranding themselves frequently. So sometimes you do have to change it. But you know, if AT&T we're still executing the vision of the AT&T that was founded ever how many years ago, they would not be a very profitable business, because we're not doing telegraph and telephone lines anymore. That's not important. You have to adapt with the times, and your vision has to evolve with that.
Well, yeah, your vision, look, so everything, and you know this is even as a former advisor, and even the roles that you're carrying on now, nothing's ever done. Right.
Yeah. Starting a business is a process. Yeah.
Right. And business is a process. And it's funny, even people will come to me and say, well, I'm interested in doing this. You know, what's going to, when we're done, what's it going to look like? And I go, well, we're never going to be done. quite frankly.
Yeah.
There will always be tweaks and revisions. But when we get to a certain point, we're going to be well down the path from where you are, which is, I have this vision, it's up here somewhere, and I have no idea how to articulate it, to a place where it is being articulated very clearly. Could it be refined even more? Sure, absolutely. There's refinements upon refinements one can do, and you can niche even tighter if you find that one niche is working really well, or you may have to pivot into a different niche, or a different segment of what you thought you were serving as you gather more information. So we're never done, and I think it's really important for any business owner to understand and hopefully embrace. Look, you're an entrepreneur. You are an entrepreneur that found this thing that you wanted to create a business about, and you've passionately followed it, whether it's been for 6 months or 6 years or 30 years. But you've followed this path, and it is still a path. You're never going to get to the end goal. It's just how it is.
One of the best illustrations that I've ever seen for this, I give props to the CFP board for this, I guess, because that's really where I learned this, but that financial planning process that they teach in the CFP curriculum, gather information, analyze information, perform an analysis, present the plan, monitor the plan, and then what do we do then? We repeat. Gather more information, analyze the information, present the, and it just goes on and on. But that really is sort of the process that a business owner is going through. And it's an ever-evolving process that's taking place, because you follow that process when you start your business. You gather information, analyze information, put together a plan, put the plan into action, monitor the plan, and then review the performance, and take that information and analyze it, present it, and you just keep doing this. Now, that you can say that you do this every year, every month, every quarter, every day, but it's an ongoing, fluid process of adapting and paying attention to what's going on in the environment, and then making sure that your vision aligns with that. And maybe speaking very personally here from my lack of ability to do that for a long time with this, because it took me a while to figure out what my vision was. You know, what's going to resonate with what's the best business model? What is the best way to approach this? But I think as you go through that process, it's okay to admit you got it wrong last time. You know what I mean? And just say, okay, maybe this isn't working. Maybe this is different. My current, where I'm at right now with the advisor serving side, came from a conversation where someone told me my vision better than I was articulating it in just a conversation. And I kind of realized I had stumbled into a better version of telling this story, and I leaned into it. So sometimes you have to admit that you're doing it wrong and look at what's out there and say, am I, based on the information that I have now, I started this process with a certain set of information, we put it into play, and then it has produced more data. Based on that data, is this still the right way of going about this? And then also, if we have time, I do want to just kind of, you know, if you could talk a little bit about how you take that vision and then make sure you are executing it day in and day out, right? If I'm branding myself as the advisor's advocate and I'm not putting my advisors first, then I'm not fulfilling my own vision. Same thing with you. If you're saying view from above, but you're not taking that step back and looking at the big picture in your day-to-day interactions with clients,
right.
Fraudulent might not be the right word. That might be too strong of a word, but you're not going to be a successful business.
No, I think you're going to struggle being you're going to struggle for sure being as successful as potentially you are capable of being. And I think that's a great subject in and of itself for one of these episodes, because we could probably share stories for 3 hours just on that part alone. This is just, we're just peeling back one of the layers, and boy, this thing, it goes deep really fast and it gets complicated in some ways. There's just so many wonderful nuggets that we'll be able to uncover over time through this whole process. So I think that's one for the future books. I'm sure we'll be able to touch on it, because it's one that's really, I'm very passionate about. In the end, planning is a process. Anything you do is a process. It's not if you think you're done, you just got started. What we used to joke also in the planning circles, this is the day I deliver a written financial plan, which, by the way, I don't do anymore. I just really, I'll give somebody a roadmap and I'll say, here's some guidelines and things like that. But it's, I don't do financial plans like that because it's the day you print it, it's obsolete.
Yeah.
Things are changing. And I really find it's preferable to think of the coaching work that I do, the planning work that other planners do, working with other human beings on you being the best you can be with your business, no matter what it is. Yeah. That whole process really is much more about building frameworks around which you can make great decisions or better or more optimal decisions, rather than it is looking like, here's the set, you're going to do this, then this, step-by-step instructions. Step-by-step instructions, you're going to get to step three, and something's going to change, and that piece is not going to fit in the puzzle the way it did when the instructions were written.
Well, I said at the beginning, unscripted conversations usually go better, and we didn't have this planned out, but you couldn't throw up a better cliffhanger than that to end this show and tee up the next one. We'll dive into that more next time. And how to actually execute the plan and how important it is to execute the vision once you have it. So we'll cap it there. My phone keeps reminding me I'm out of storage. So thanks, John. I appreciate it, man, as always. See you next time, bud.
Take care.
You too. Bye.